Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. You know that music. We are excited to welcome in Brett Bielema. He's the head coach for the Fighting Illini. And big day tonight. You're going to be at the Cubs game. You're going to be you're going to be in great voice, as they say.
I'm looking forward. I'm actually doing a duet with our quarterback, Luke Altmyer. This is my fifth singing of the seventh inning stretch. I thought I needed to throw some change up. So my quarterback, Luke Altmyer, is going to sing with me.
Can he sing?
I don't know. Yeah. And I was a little nervous. I called him on Sunday. I said, hey, we got clearance from the Cubs to do a duet if you're interested. And he goes, what do you mean? I said, well, this is kind of what it is. I sent him Harry Carey, Eddie Vedder duet. I said, this is kind of where I'm thinking. So I don't know if it's going to be any good, but we'll try.
Let's start with him because I think he was a big reason you won 10 games. He's also, there was some – we wondered if he would come back.
Right. Yeah.
Was it hard to bring him back? And how important is he to this season?
You know, first and foremost, he's a good player, but he's an incredible good person. Mom and dad raised a good kid. His dad is actually a team doctor for Mississippi State, so he's kind of been around college football. He understands it. Obviously transferred from Ole Miss, so he's kind of been through that process one time. I know people contacted him. I'm sure if you really follow it, actually after spring ball was done, there's a team that really came after him hard. But I think he knows where we've taken him, but more importantly, where we can go. When I sat down and talked with him, I think it was awesome. You know, he literally asked me three things. He asked me about the coaches who were going to be around him. He wanted to make sure that my offense coordinator, Barry Lunny, and Art Sikowski were going to be there, the two guys that coach him the most. He wanted to know about our wide receivers. We lost a good receiver to the Denver Broncos lost some other guys. And he wanted to know about the production that we had coming back. And the third thing, the most important thing to him was just, you know, how we were going to take on this season ahead of us. We got some high expectations. Some people are saying a lot of good things. So I think he knew where we were going to go, and that probably kept him here better than anything.
Any surprise at how well things went? I mean, you exceeded expectations a year ago. Any surprise to you?
Well, I would say the part that was awesome for me was really driven through Luke Altmyer. Just the way we played at the end of half and end of games. We were really good in critical moments. I mean, you guys saw it last year in your level here, right? Like sometimes if people don't have a plan in those critical moments, the games are decided in those critical moments. End of half, end of game. Red zone scenarios, how to use timeouts, how to put yourself in a position. I think for me, going to my 17th year as a head coach, I'm actually amazed a lot of times that the way people that are put in the positions that we're in, they really don't know what they're doing, right? And then the players look silly, right? And then it just it compounds, and our guys really handle those moments very well, and that's going to be a big part of our success.
Got to be honest, didn't see you winning 10 games last year. that was a big surprise, and you guys did surprise people. You had that kind of success. You come in this year. You're right about the expectations.
Yeah.
Now you know how it is. You've done it before. You set the bar here, and then it's meeting those expectations that can be tough. It's handling success that can be difficult. Why are you guys equipped to handle success?
You know, I think we all learn from our past failures, right? Like we learn from things that we didn't do well. And this past year, I kind of had a moment in the locker room after a loss to Penn State. I thought Penn State was a really good football team. Obviously, they went on and won a couple games in the playoffs. So we went to that game, and we were literally a first and goal on a 2-yard line. Had a couple mishandled moments, and we ended up losing that game. But I was in that locker room after the game, and I said to myself, listen, I thought coming into this game we had a really good football team, and I know now leaving we really do. And that's kind of what I think kind of helped define us. You know, went on to win some games down the stretch here. I was really worried about the game here in Wrigley. Northwestern's kind of a feisty team. We're playing in Wrigley Stadium, a baseball stadium that we weren't really accustomed to. We won that game pretty convincingly. And then I really thought going into the South Carolina game, that was one of the better teams in college football. They were probably on the cusp of college football playoffs. I thought we were as well. But To play that game the way we did and win it the way we did, I knew coming out of it that we had done a good job, and really excited. We got 18 of 22 starters back from that team, and anytime you return your starting quarterback, and then also people underscore this part, right? Like the center, Josh Kreutz, him and Luke have been together every step of the way, and anytime you have that connection between the guy that's snapping the ball to our quarterback, and you know, as you guys know, the family that he comes from, like his mental football IQ and awareness, Josh Kreutz at the line of scrimmage is like having another coach on the field.
Yeah, Olin, we lucky enough to talk to him all the time.
Oh gosh,
and he is so excellent in terms of understanding the game. I just wonder, your recruiting has also reached a different level. You've also stepped up, getting a lot more national attention.
Yeah.
This is the thing that amazes me watching college football anymore. It is an unending difficulty. You've got to go out. You've got to bring people in. You've got to get work the NIL, work the transfer portal, and like keeping guys is as tough as getting anymore. But you've done a great job.
Yeah, we have actually led the conference in retention. I'm not oblivious that probably our top 10 to 15 players that came back from last year's bowl team in 10-win season, those guys all could have left me, right? Like, they definitely could have probably gotten paid more than we were paying them and put themselves, but I think they know in our building, they know what exists, right? Like, I always, tell our players and our coaches, like, you build relationships every day. How you say hello and goodbye in the hallway is just as important as how much you teach them on the field, right? Like, you build relationships every day. I think the other part that's really kind of crazy is now this new settlement that came in 2 weeks ago, this is going to really level the playing field, right?
Yeah.
So, we still have a little imbalance this year. We're going to play teams that probably have a $30 or $40 million roster. But next year, moving forward, everybody should be in that $13 to $15, $16 million range. And I said this about a month ago. I get a lot of feedback on this. I said, I don't give a crap where we shop. If it's Louis Vuitton or Walmart, as long as we're all in the same store, I'm good, right? Like, let's just all kind of be in the same thing. Like, I really don't care where I shop, right? Like, my wife sends me on a grocery list, I'll go to the grocery store. Just send me to a place that everybody else is at. Because right now, it hasn't been that way. Last year, we finished fifth in the Big Ten. The four teams ahead of us, we were at 5 million. At least three of the four teams ahead of us were north of 20, 25 million. And you could do that once in a while, but you can't sustain that.
And I think, though, as much as things have changed and as much as things will continue to change, what hasn't changed, and I think what you do a great job in your program, is the recruiting is still the people business.
It's
still about the relationships you mentioned. So let's go back to retaining a player. I think the story goes, and this is probably – a couple months, I remember reading this, so help me with the details. J.C. Davis, you show up at his house unannounced. It's Christmas season. They're watching a movie, and it's like, who's here? Oh, it's Coach Bielema. Is that California?
So I was privy to a little bit of information that they were going to pass this rule that allowed players that had played in JUCO to have one more year of eligibility. J.C. came out during COVID. He was a 260-pound high school lineman, went to a JUCO, went to New Mexico, and then we recruited him out of there. Had his draft grade, came back as a fourth or fifth rounder, and I knew what was coming, so I got permission from our AD. We got a plane. I grabbed three of my coaches, and we flew on Christmas. At first, I had to get permission from the wife. You guys know where I'm going, right? Like, said, hey, do you mind if I skip Christmas Eve? And we flew on a plane and landed, and then presented it to JC, presented what we talked about, and the thing that was awesome for him, he came in as a 290, 295-pound kid. We had turned him into a draftable player, and I said, hey, man, we're about halfway where I think we can take you. And it's been awesome. And to your point, I literally tonight I'm going to sing the seventh inning stretch. We have an event from 5 to 7, but at 7:15 I'm hopping on a call to a recruit that I have scheduled with his parents, and I sure as heck hope I'm getting good news, not bad news, right? Like, it just never ends. And it's awesome. It's a big part of what I really enjoy. There's never been a greater time to be a head coach in college football than right now. It's really very NFL-driven. I have a player personnel department that's set up just like the NFL. I've set my coaching staff up just like the NFL. I've managed our roster size last year and the way we distributed our money. They put it into a little basically an analysis, and the way we structured our salary structure last year for our team was almost identical to the Detroit Lions, and that was a team that you know, I see all the time they build their foundation up front, you know, with the, I know we don't want to hear that here, right, in Chicagoland, but
they had a pretty good offensive coordinator right here.
That's right. I didn't even think about that. But, yeah, like it's something that we pay attention to. I think we don't have a lot of egos. Super excited. I know you guys will be gone, but we have three or four of our guys coming in here this afternoon. We have a media day set up for Gabe Backus, Luke Altmaier. Josh Geske is a very good starter, 3-year starter at offensive line. Josh Kreutz is going to be in, so we gave our lineman a media day as well, and that's kind of fun stuff.
I'm curious, what was your take on the playoff and the difference from college football last year than previous seasons?
I think it was just awesome.
Well, it was awesome.
It just to know that you're a team. You know, we were. You know, I can get a little Twitter rampage once in a while, right? And yeah. I was trying to, you know, just bring attention. Hey, we were a 9-9 win football team. We had lost to Penn State and Oregon, who were in the playoffs.
Yeah,
and had a game that was right down to the wire. Lost to Minnesota, but there were SEC teams that were saying, "Hey, we should be in." But I think now, you know, 12 teams, like you have a chance to really, you know, be a three loss team, but still talk about the playoffs. And now if we go to 16, which I think would be even better. Now you got teams, you know, that are playing in October, November that are really striving to still make the playoffs. And I think that just – there has never been a time where college football has been as popular as it is now. And I think a lot of it is driven off the college football playoffs to go from 4 to 12. And I think we'll be knocking on door 16 here shortly.
We talked about retention, which is so important to your program, especially this season. But you also have to mine the transfer portal aggressively. And you have to be open to other guys. And you have to keep a good – have that constant awareness of people in the portal. How is your team different now because of the way you did that?
It's a great question. You know, so we've normally carried around, since I've been a head coach, 120 players, 85 scholarship, 35 non-scholarship. Now we're going to drop down to this 105-man roster. They're letting you grandfather some players in, but really this 100-man roster is similar to, you know, basically NFL rosters in the out-of-season carry 95 players.
Yeah.
So we're really managing an NFL roster. And I told you before that we went on, right? We sold one from Ball State. We have a tight end, Christian Abney, that I literally watched his film, and I'm like, okay, he's in the portal. We got to acquire this guy. We were a little thin at the tight end room. We also have another tight end that we got, Stoffel, who came from South Dakota State. So we have 21 high school players coming in, and we have about 20 transfer portal players coming in. So that's 40 players.
You also went to Wisconsin, right?
We got one out, James Thompson, who – I tell you, I think we might have taken the best player from Wisconsin and the best player from West Virginia. We have 18 players coming back that were starters, and now you start taking the best players from other teams. That's when things can happen, right? And really excited. You know, there's not one tackle turnover or touchdown from last year that carries into this year, but really excited about where this team is and where they can go.
Well, and I mean, these are big-name guys that you're talking about. It's got to be difficult to kind of – I mean, it mustn't be that difficult because you're doing it, but you've got to guarantee them a certain amount of playing time. You got to have a plan pretty much for everybody, that whether you're retaining them or going and getting them.
Yeah, we do two things at Illinois. It's a little different. We don't do multi-year contracts, and we don't do incentive-based contracts. Some teams do that. So, you know, I want every player that comes in the room, even Luke Altmaier, who's a returning 2-year starter at quarterback, I want him to know that the guy behind him wants his job just as bad as anybody. And that's truly building like an NFL emphasis, right? But yeah, we know we deal with roster sizes now. We do with salaries. We do with contracts. You know, it's kind of interesting. You know, you'll sit down and tell a kid last year that's making, you know, 50 grand, and you're like, hey, I'm going to pay you 250. He's like, oh, thanks, coach. Like they have no idea, right, what it means to make $100,000, right? Like, it's just – it's insanity at its best. But the best is they're also very humble. We have – I'm telling you, like, I'm very truly blessed. Every day I walk in that building, we got kids that want to be hungry. They recruit for us. We had some great recruiting weekends here the last couple of weeks. We're getting a big time. I think on Thursday we're going to get some really good news. So it's at a level now that we just got to, you know, I talked to Josh Whitman, our AD, when I first took the job about building something that's sustainable, right? And Josh, you know, gave me an opportunity to sign a new contract that I think created a lot of good feeling with our recruits and their parents. And it's just at a different level right now that that I'm really excited and hopefully can make this thing happen year after year.
So Luke Altmaier comes back to Illinois, obviously, because he's got aspirations. He could be part of the college football playoff as a team. Individually, I'm sure he came back for some for similar reasons, because his ceiling is pretty high. You've coached a lot of good quarterbacks. What is he capable of if he reaches his potential this year?
You know, he kind of is a combo platter for me. He's very creative, right? So one of the things I learned with Russell Wilson when we had him at Wisconsin, Russ was really good when the answer wasn't right, right? Like, as a coordinator, they always try to design things and hey, when he does this, this guy does this, we're going to do this. But Russ was at his best when it was at its worst. And actually, Luke has improvised and made some moments. There was a play against Rutgers at the end of year last year where he had a rusher in his face, and he just went from a straight over normal trajectory to a sidearm and threw a strike that scored a touchdown. He's really, really good at that. He kind of reminds me, I have a kid named Brandon Allen who's been in the league, I think, 8 or 9 years now. He's kind of got his posture stance and his intelligence. Kid that I recruited, Scott Tolzien, who is a friend kid here in Chicago, who's now the quarterback coach of New Orleans Saints. He's very Scotty was always very structured in his approach to the game, and Luke has those same qualities. So he's kind of a combo player, but he's really good because there's really good players around him. And then this is not to be overlooked. I have all three of my play callers, my offensive, defensive, and special teams coordinator. This is going into our third season together, collectively together, and to have that continuity with the coaching staff is a really big deal.
How do you feel about the role of general manager at the college level? We see like examples at Cal this week. It just became out. I think Justin Wilcox is going to report directly to Ron Rivera, who's going back and he's a GM of the Cal program. That's an emerging role. It's a changing role because of all the things you talked about, the salary cap and the contracts. And how important is that role for programs?
Well, it's about having everybody on the same page. So first off, our AD, Josh Whitman, played at Illinois, four-time letter winner, two-time academic All-American. Those things don't just happen, right? Played in the NFL for 5 years, and now he's our AD. So he has structured our football building in a way that allows us to be successful. My GM, Pat Hamilton, has been here 10 years at Illinois. He was here before I got here. Lovey had him. And so he kind of learned the NFL model through Lovey, and I was able to retain him and keep promoting him. And then I have a chief of staff, Mark Torresani. So us four, and there's another guy, Roger Denny, who's big in the athletic department, we kind of work as a team to kind of combine the money avenue. You know, I told Josh when I took the job, listen, I'm not going to look for shiny shoes or new helmets or new uniforms, but I want my players to get three things. I want them to be supported, right, by the people that they need to be around. So academics, equipment room, training room, coaching staff. I want the people to be there to support them. I want to supply them, right? So we took our budget that was their fueling, which is food and hydration, which was $800,000 when I got there. Now we're about $3.2 million a year, right? So we're fueling and supplying them. And the third thing, the biggest thing, is protect them, right? So we have customized helmets. We have the best gear that they're in that college football can buy. But I'm telling you, what goes on in some of these other schools, like it's a shit show some places. Like, I don't know what's going on at Cal, right, or all those other places, but like there's places in schools that are saying things and doing things that legally can't happen, but they're still saying it because there's no accountability. So this new world order that we're going into, that's kind of bringing the NCAA in combo with this new structure, is really awesome, because these buffoons that have been clowning around, paying guys silly money and doing, there's accountability that's coming, right? Like, it's really fun, I think, for as a coach to know what you've been doing and the way it's going to get rewarded, and watching some of these things happen around you, it's going to be really cool.
And you know that you're in the conference you want to be in. You know that the conference is spectacular. Now, that's, you know, the downside is you're going to have really tough games against a lot of good teams. But, man, it's good to be king.
You know what? It's truly – we're the only conference in the country. Tony Petitti, our conference commissioner, has absolutely been a brainstorm, just a really blessing for us. You know, we literally have the only conference in this country. You know, I know the SEC talks a lot and, you know, Twitter's a lot and all that jazz. But like, bottom line, we're in all four time zones, right? We're from on the East Coast with Penn State, Rutgers, and Maryland to the West Coast with those four schools out there, USC, UCLA, Washington, and obviously Oregon, right? Like, those are brand name schools that are coast to coast. And then you got us in the middle with, Ohio State, you know, and Michigan. And like, there's no other conference that can talk about being in four time zones. In the NFL, like, if you're a kid from Florida, right, and you leave Florida and you play at Illinois, you are literally telling 32 teams you can play anywhere in the country. You know, you're a school in the South. You're a kid from Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, and you stay in the SEC. You're never leaving the South, right? Like, everything is down there. You never prove to the Packers or to the Bears, to the Patriots, to the Giants, to the Jets that you can play in cold weather. So we use that stuff, and I'm telling you, like, the tide has shifted the last two or three years to the Big Ten Conference and that other conference that you know has a lot of conference chatter. They know what's happening, right? And you know, the NIL world now is kind of a legalized and in a way to do things that is pretty awesome. And I think that's got everybody on point, and that's why this conference is probably at a premium right now that they've never seen.
Did you make up with Shane Beamer?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I called Shane.
You good with that?
Yeah, it was a little moment. Awesome. We got a little caught up in,
it was entertaining, Brett.
It was great. It was definitely entertaining. I was proud of
you. It was not premeditated, I promise. I tell you, it's everywhere I go, especially in recruiting, you know, I'll come in. And the best was my wife and I, we got away for a little three-day weekend in Nashville, and we came in the hotel the night before, and there's about five or six guys that were checking in. I knew they knew who I was, right? But they didn't say anything. My wife and I kind of we went to dinner that night, came back in, and I saw them again. I'm like, okay, these guys know. So the next morning, got up early, 6 o'clock, and my wife has a code phrase. She says that sounds like a great idea. So that means I should get up, go downstairs, and get a coffee and bring it to my wife. Right. So it was about 6:30 in the morning, and I come through the lobby, and all six guys hit the tee bar, and they were waiting to play golf. And I just started laughing. I wasn't expecting that to come out,
so
but
funny.
They came up to me, and they were actually all Georgia fans, so they kind of enjoyed the moment for themselves.
Good stuff. That's awesome. Coach, thank you. Thanks
absolutely.
For coming in. I know you're going to have fun tonight,
yeah.
And keep up the great work.
And we'll be talking to you this season.
Appreciate it, gentlemen. Very much. ILL.
Thanks, Coach.
That is I&I. Yeah, absolutely. Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm looking forward. I'm actually doing a duet with our quarterback, Luke Altmyer. This is my fifth singing of the seventh inning stretch. I thought I needed to throw some change up. So my quarterback, Luke Altmyer, is going to sing with me.
Can he sing?
I don't know. Yeah. And I was a little nervous. I called him on Sunday. I said, hey, we got clearance from the Cubs to do a duet if you're interested. And he goes, what do you mean? I said, well, this is kind of what it is. I sent him Harry Carey, Eddie Vedder duet. I said, this is kind of where I'm thinking. So, I don't know if it's going to be any good, but we'll try.
Oh, that is funny stuff. Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. So we know that the seventh inning stretch is in good hands.
Yes, tonight, Cubs and Brewers and Brett Bielema and Luke Altmyer, his quarterback.
Yeah.
ILLINI, they'll be singing the seventh inning stretch. I think it's Illinois night at Wrigley Field.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, I think it is. Something along those lines. They come every year. It's always good to see Brett Bielema. He's done a terrific job at Illinois. He's
doing a great job.
And he's got the Illini in a position to be in the conversation. They're thinking college football playoff.
Well, they got a really good incoming class. And then you talk about
the players they retained,
players that they've retained, but also the transfer portal. They've got a lot of good guys.
Yep, they got a couple guys from Wisconsin, guy from Ball State.
Yeah,
he did hire
West Virginia. He said
West Virginia as well. Yeah. Also on his offensive staff is a senior assistant, Mike New, friend of mine, former Ball State head coach, and was nice to see him land in Champaign working for Brett Bielema because. He's a quality guy, and that's a good staff. So Illinois has got it going football-wise. You know, we had an interesting conversation last night on the Chicago lead with Joshua Perry,
mm-hmm.
who played at Ohio State and played in the NFL as well, about which head coach can have a bigger impact on the outcome or on any given game, a college football head coach or an NFL head coach. And I think they're different job responsibilities sometimes. I think that they're different.
I think my knee-jerk reaction to that is that the college coach has more power than the NFL head coach, which probably is a strange thing to say.
No, I thought the same thing, though. I argued the same way. Because even though you could make the argument, as Joshua sort of did, about the NFL coach, it's scheme and it's preparation and it's organization. And it's, all those things are valid. But I do think when you look at the college coach, Brett Bielema is as powerful as anybody on that campus.
No question about it.
And the impact he has on the roster he chooses, who plays, who doesn't, what plays they call, it's everything. It's all-encompassing.
It is.
So I think that's almost the answer.
Yeah.
Whereas in NFL, it's more of a specialized job.
And it depends on the coach, too.
Yeah.
Because there are some coaches that are really only coaching one half of the ball. And, you know, and this will be the case in Chicago. I think that
– You're pretty sure of that?
Dennis Allen will be the he will have his defense that he will run. Yeah. Am I pretty sure about it? I'm not saying – that that Ben Johnson won't make every important decision on how you handle things, but I think he will allow Dennis Allen to kind of run his own fiefdom. I don't think he's calling defense, is what I'm saying.
I don't think so. I think you're right. That's what good head coaches do in the NFL, though.
That's
they
exactly,
delegate.
Exactly.
They hire people to to take care of who are experts.
Yes.
At what they do. In college, the idea is the same. And I guess, you know, let's not be naive. I mean, college football coaching is a lucrative business now. You see where Penn State poached, I think, Ohio State's defensive coordinator last year.
Jim Knowles.
Yeah, Jim Knowles for millions of dollars more than he was making. And so that stuff goes on too. But overall, top to bottom, when you see the job description, I think it's a tougher job being a college football head coach overall.
Well, I mean,
more impactful.
I tell you what, what always is amazing to me is how many different aspects you have to understand and oversee, because you're basically, you've got to be your own head recruiter, even if you have a head recruiter. You've got to be the guy that understands we need this, this, and this. You got to be the guy that can go into the portal and try to get the player. I'm saying it is even more complicated than it was when you were playing college football.
Oh, no doubt about it.
It's just a totally different game, and you got to be able to control the business side of it and the money side of it, as well as recruiting. There's a whole new...
It's gone totally full circle. There was
like
no business side of it.
You got a pro personnel guy, and you got a college draft guy.
General manager.
That's exactly
the
right.
The general manager. Ron Rivera is the general manager of Cal football.
I know.
And he now is the guy to whom the head coach answers, which is essentially the job that used to be the athletic director. Well, today's athletic director is too busy making... organizing the other sports that have to be serviced as well, and they have their own payrolls. It's such a business now, and it's so different than it used to be.
Yeah, there's so much to organize.
And that's why I respect guys like Brett Bielema who have adapted and evolved.
Oh, man.
Because the way that he's talking about his depth chart now and all the things that go into recruiting that didn't used to involve – making Day trips and all those things.
But retaining
your own players.
That is an incredible thing to do, because, as you know, the one thing that is virtually impossible to do is to make people happy, to make people want to stick around. That's hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
There's always every player that is in a locker room believes that they are really good as a player and that they're not being used correctly if they're not showing how good they are. So you got to manage a lot of different personalities and egos in order to create a good program.
The easiest instinct to have as a college football player or college athlete, let's just say that in general, the easiest, the most relatable instinct is the one to transfer. Because things don't go your way, or they don't go the way that you envisioned them when you were recruited, you immediately want to change the reality, and you're all of a sudden, everybody's got their own example of that if you're a college athlete. Mine was, a week into two-a-days, I was calling home because I was leaving. I was sure I was gone because, hey, this wasn't what I signed up for. I was a wide receiver. They gave me a defensive playbook. I'm leaving. So all's well that ends well, but that's still, some things are are, you know, span generations and are relatable forever. What's different now from then is the business aspect of it.
Yeah.
When he talks about having a 13 to 15 to $17 million payroll, as opposed to what some guys on teams on their schedule have, like a $30 million payroll.
Well,
goodness sakes.
I mean, David, like when he talks about, okay, we're upping you to $250,000. I mean, what that is, so if you're that age, if you're a college kid, like, you don't know anything about money or how to manage money or what, who falls into that kind of dough at that age?
I don't know.
It's incredible.
But he's in a conference that includes the University of Michigan, and Michigan announced that Bryce Underwood is their freshman quarterback.
Yes.
And he has a $10.5 million NIL deal.
Yes.
And he's got more than that.
Didn't they pay $25 million for that player? Didn't they, when recruiting, there was like an unbelievable story out there about the amount of money they're paying. How many quarterbacks they have, by the way? They got a ton of quarterbacks.
Not sure.
They got a lot.
Most teams like that will have at least three.
It's incredible.
You wonder about a team like Notre Dame that losing quarterbacks. Steve Angeli transfers to Syracuse, and they are for the first time in a while without a veteran transfer quarterback to lead them, and, you know, or to get paid.
It's a problem.
It's just it's a much different way to consume college football than it used to be. But that, again, it doesn't make it any less fun to watch. For me, at least, I think you look forward to college football season every year, because that's a thing that hasn't changed either, is how exciting the games can become.
I you know, it's interesting because there were a couple of times where players left Notre Dame, and you used to not see that very often.
Now you see it all the time.
Now you see it everywhere.
Because, you know, sometimes they're invited to leave.
Yeah.
That
used to happen.
The greener pastures in every way. And greener, and they have a lot of the green to share. You can make more money elsewhere. Sometimes it just doesn't work out, so people will leave.
But that last year was about as fun a college football season as I've seen in a long time.
Because of the postseason.
Totally because of the postseason. And it'll be very interesting to see. I think it was interesting. I think he's right. I think there is another step for the playoffs to expand. I think they will do that. I think that will happen.
I think you're probably right. Maybe 16, perhaps. So it was good to see Brett Bielema.
Yeah,
also, it was nice to talk college football
good
for coach. A little while, because baseball tonight takes center stage in Chicago. White Sox and Cubs both in town.
Mm-hmm.
Sox on the south side against the Cardinals. Matthew Liberatore for the Cardinals against Shane Smith for the White Sox. First 10. Pitch.
10.35 ERA for Liberatore in the last three games.
Get on him.
I mean, you got to get on him.
Get on him. 6:40 first pitch.
Shane Smith's your guy.
Meanwhile,
that's
on the north side, Chad Patrick for the Brewers opposes Ben Brown for the Cubs. 7:05 first pitch at Wrigley Field. Pregame right here on the Score at 6:30 with Zach Zaidman, I think, because Pat Hughes back in the booth. So that'll be a lot of fun to see if Ben Brown can get out of the first inning.
Well, you say that, but this is a winnable game that you should jump on these guys and start what is going to be a nice series against the Brewers. They need to come out and get this one right now and then get ready for the young fireballer coming in another day. And then
Mizrowski.
And then how?
Yeah, but they answer with Jameson Taillon tomorrow. Tomorrow will be probably the best matchup, although Cade Horton and
Peralta
on Thursday also
Peralta's
very good.
Peralta's a problem for the Cubs.
It's going to be a good
as well against.
It's going to be a very good series. I think the blue-haired kid's going to dominate the Brewers, and Pat Murphy's going to be losing his hair over it.
You got to love Pat Murphy.
You got to love Murph.
He's a good man.
It's going to be a good series, though.
They could put the kid with blue hair on the mound. He can do anything else right now. Superhuman.
So that's a compliment, but is it a compliment? It's fun. I love when you're left with that kind of okay, you do like him then? Oh, the guy with
that's
the big
a sense
feet.
Of humor.
It's hilarious.
It's a very good.
It's a very
way to he likes to rib people. He likes to razz. It makes his personality unique.
Yeah,
likable guy.
Very funny.
Tune in to the Rahimi and Harris Show this week from 10 to 2, and you get a chance to win general admission tickets to the Windy City Smokeout right around the corner, Saturday, July 12th. Performances that day. All right, Kane Brown, yes. Megan Maroney, and much more.
Megan Maroney, wonderful.
for tickets and more information, visit WindyCitySmokeout.com.
All right, we've got Layla Marshall will join us next. We'll get a chance to chat with them. It's Mully and Hall on The Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.